Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, the Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, August 13th, 2021. We are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 78, the second full paragraph. Today's readers are Laura R. reading the 12 steps, Jess S. reading the 12 traditions, and reading the texts are Sherry KB, Julie EB, and Jordan L. Our newcomer greeter will be Alice G, and making announcements will be Betsy H. Reference numbers for yesterday's and this morning's meetings are for the Thursday, August 12th meeting at 10 a.m., the reference number is 17,545 or 17545. And for this morning's Vision for You meeting at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, the reference number is 17553 or 17,553. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Laura R. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thanks, Kathy. This is Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Laura R. Jess S., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Yes, thank you. My name is Jess S., compulsive overeater from Wisconsin. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to serve.
Thank you very much, Jess S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from this literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speaker's, should be muted. Today we resume our reading on page 78, the second full paragraph, and I will ask Sherry KB to get us started. Good morning, Sherry. I don't hear you, Sherry. Press star 1.
Sorry about that. Good morning, Kathy. It's Sherry KB in Northern California.
Good morning.
Hi.
Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Most alcoholics owe money. We do not dodge our creditors. Telling them what we are trying to do, we make no bones about our drinking. They usually know it anyway, whether we think so or not. Nor are we afraid of disclosing our alcoholism on the theory it may cause financial harm. Approached in this way, the most ruthless creditor will sometimes surprise us. Arranging the best deal we can, we let these people know we are sorry. Our drinking has made us slow to pay. We must lose our fear of creditors, no matter how far we have to go, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. Let me time my column. So this paragraph is one of the toughest ones for me in this book. It kind of takes my breath away when I read it and I hear it and I listen to other people talk about it, because this gets down to a lot of honesty. And I know for myself that, you know, I have been dishonest around money things, time, slow to pay, withholding. It started when I was a kid. I remember stealing money from my parents, from my siblings, to buy food. That's what I used it for, was to buy food. and going back, you know, the first time I ever made an amends around that was really scary for me. And the difference, though, that I had God with me, that's what made the difference. I felt like my higher power gave me the courage to face my creditors, no matter what they were, including my family. And I did it in a way that, you know, I prayed and asked God to go with me. I talked to other people about it before I went. There were other things that I did as I got older. I had, you know, credit card issues. I also, you know, stole time at work by doing certain things, you know, taking the my employer's time. I stole money, not money, I stole time. I stole food from bins and grocery stores. I had this one particular thing that always comes to mind whenever I read this paragraph is, long story short, I live outside of San Francisco. My husband took me to this very expensive, famous hotel for a surprise. And I felt like I, you know, I had this kind of attitude, very arrogant, very self-centered. I took a plate from the hotel thinking I deserved it because how much he paid for the room. And my sponsor at the time, she kept asking me, was there anything else that you left out of your, you know, your fourth step, anything you want to tell me? And I said, well, you know, we're just this little matter. I mean, like, because it was bothering me. And I said, it's really no big deal. And I told her about the plate. And, you know, I had moved from Santa Barbara up to the Bay Area. And she kept on me about it and said, hey, have you taken that plate back? Have you returned that plate? And I'm like, no big deal. Oh, shoot. And I'm up now. But the bottom line is I took it back. And they made such a big deal out of it because everybody was stealing plates from that place. I felt like about the size of a pin. But it was really good for my ego reduction. And I thank God that God went with me and I passed. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB, for getting us started. Okay. Now I'm going to take people's names who would like to share. And please remember that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that if you shared in the last 2 days, you will wait until, you wait until the third day. So this is so that other people may share their experiences, too, who haven't shared in a few days. Okay, who would like to share?
Mati M.
Mati.
Annabelle
W. Annabelle W.
No, Annabelle Z.
Oh, Z. Sorry, Annabelle. Okay.
Rosie W.
Janice P.M. I don't know if you got me.
Rachel, is that who I heard?
Rosie.
Rosie, what's your last initial?
W.
Okay, Rosie. And Janet P.M.? Janet P.M. Thank you.
Thank you. Freya H.
Kathleen O.
Freya H. Freya H. And Kathleen O. Okay, why don't we stop there? So I have Mate M., Annabelle Z., Rosie W., Janice P.M., Freya H., and Kathleen O., and we'll take more names later. Please start us off, Mate. Press star 1 to unmute, please.
Hi, I'm Mati M. from Tucson, Arizona, and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. And thank you, Sherry KV, for your honest and deep share. I would like to have your phone number for sure. Fear of financial insecurity has run in my family, and I certainly adopted that. even when, you know, we had money. My parents are professional. We grew up, nothing was, you know, we didn't have any real needs, but there was always the fear. And the way that I dealt with money, it was an avoidance of money and money issues. I would overeat when there was a bill due that I didn't want to deal with, that I didn't want to pay. I also would get into this all or nothing stance. Either I didn't pay any of what I owed, or I wanted to give all of my money to creditors or doctors. With me, it's been a lot of medical bills. And then I would, I would owe myself money. I wouldn't like put some in a reserve so that I could have money for shelter and food. And certainly when I lived in Los Angeles, I did a lot of, you know, overspending for special occasions, the perfect dress, or would go out to very expensive restaurants that were really out of my budget. So for me, abstinence and sobriety around money go hand in hand, because I do not want to overeat around debt. So thank you for letting me share.
Yes, can you hear me okay?
I can, thank you.
Okay, I just can't hear you. Okay, I'm Annabelle Z in Washington State, a compulsive overeater recovering. And I loved what you shared, the person you shared, because I forgot about something that happened, an amends that I had to make like 4 years ago. So I was in program, but not in OA. I was in a 12-step program, but it just goes to show you how, corrupt my program was. In other words, how I really wasn't practicing a 10-step in any way. I was traveling with my family, and I before going to this trip, I was with some friends, and one person was saying they wish they had a salt and pepper shaker that had an S and a P on it. And here I go to this foreign country on a, mind you, mission trip with our church, okay? And I found that they had these salt and pepper shakers with S&P at the hotel. And I'm like, that's perfect. And I look around, there's like hundreds of them, right? There's like hundreds of tables. Like, in my mind, there were hundreds. And so I just kind of snagged them. And my husband kind of looked at me like, did you just snag those? I'm like, yeah, no big deal. They have plenty of them. And, immediately felt like, this is none too smart, but what's the big deal? Because I'm actually doing this for someone else. So I bring it back and I get back to the United States, and I still felt so guilty. And my husband was like, are you going to call them and apologize? And I'm like, I mean, I didn't even work with a sponsor at this point in time. And you know what? It took like 5 phone calls international to figure out how to get a hold of these people so I could call them and apologize, get an address so that I could send it back, them back to them. I was willing to do that, because that feeling of doing the wrong thing is not worth the feeling I was going to get to go, look what I got for you. And besides, what would she say? Oh, where'd you get them? Oh, I stole them, you know? Anyway, it's just amazing. Like, if I don't do a 10-step and stay right with God all the time, I will do things like that, even in sobriety. So the other thing I wanted to say, this is the 4th meeting I've been at in the last 48 hours or less. No, in the last 24 hours that are talking about the 9th step. So clearly I have issues. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank
you very much, Annabelle Z. Rosie W., please share with us.
Thanks. This is Rosie, compulsive overeater in the UK. Thanks, everyone, doing service on the line today. I really didn't want to hear this paragraph today. I have a long, colourful history of stealing. Stealing food is how it started, of course. But I ramped that up to stealing clothes and makeup to try and make myself feel better about the effects of my compulsive overeating when I was a teenager. And I progressed eventually to stealing money from people, including stealing money from friends. And I, even now, I still can't quite understand how or why or what that would, what, you know, what that was about. I guess for me, I've just always been as addicted to getting high on things as I am to numbing out pain. Anyway, when I made my first set of amends 11 years ago, when I first came in, I had to make a lot of financial amends, and I found a lot of them excruciating. But it turned out to be a really beautiful experience. I had so many wonderful letters back from institutions and individuals thanking me for my honesty and saying very, very nice things. And above all, saying, you know, I think almost all of them said, we're going to donate this money to charity. So it was a rather beautiful experience. Cut to 11 years later, here I am working a step nine again. And I realized only the other day that I had caused damage to an item of clothing that I'd ordered whilst I was trying it on, and had then returned it as faulty. And I didn't even notice what I was doing. Even now, working the steps with a big book sponsor, you know, apparently living according to my ideals, that still managed to slip through. And it was only about 2 weeks later that I suddenly thought, hang on, what did that? Did that just, my God, I did that. And so, of course, I had to write a letter to them the other day because I'm on step nine. And they've just emailed me and thanked me for my letter and said, yes, could you please pay the money into this account? And this is why I know that I'm sick, because I read their email and I was furious. I was expecting them to say, oh, you don't need to. Our product was probably faulty. It shouldn't have ripped in the first place. And of course they didn't. They said, yes, thank you. We'll have the money. And my sponsor suggested I share about this today. And she's quite right, because this is, as has been pointed out, a program of continuous ego reduction. And mine is clearly still there, as is my sick head. You know, forget alcohol and food. My head is cunning, baffling, and far too powerful. The fact that I was still able to do that reminds me that I'm still a sick and suffering compulsive overeater, and that this stuff will not go away. So I'm going to have to actually find somebody to take a resentment from me now that this company have asked for their money back. And I will gladly hand over that resentment and ask God for God's will, because I know that it's not God's will for me to still be doing this sort of thing. Oh, I'm just so grateful for this program. It is such a beautiful way to live. And I'm glad that this is not something that will slowly build within me until I need to eat. So I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Rosie W. Janice PM, please share with us.
Well, thank you so much, Kathy K. and everyone. My name is Janice Pia, and I'm from Massachusetts. Well, you know, this paragraph is really telling us, you know, their experience. Now, these are recovered alcoholics, so they're giving us wonderful suggestions. And it says most alcoholics, most compulsive overeaters owe money. Well, certainly I know I did. And my biggest thing is I was in a family business, and, you know, my ego, my entitlement justified the reason why I would take money from the business, because being in business with my dad and his doing the same thing and working on his addiction, I felt, well, I can if he is. And, you know, justification, entitlement was a big thing for me. But, of course, this ninth step tells us that we always have to have a sponsor. Well, I know I did, I should say. I had to have a sponsor to guide me for the right time. And it took me a long time to make the decision to see that, gee, I was just thinking that I was entitled. But the biggest thing here, it says it three times, being afraid. Fear is the underlying, like, oh my goodness, what are they going to say? What, you know, it's an awful thing. But trust and rely on God, like we did all through the steps up to step 9, doing step 7, as long as we can see it. Because you know what? When I relied on God, I had no fear because then I trusted him. And, you know, what is the purpose of me doing this in the first place? And it says it here. We have to go to any lengths. We said we would. So here we are. Why? Why do we do this? Well, it says it that we have to go. This is the purpose because I would be liable to eat compulsively again if I'm afraid to face them. And with the sponsor, she's going to give me ideas. My father passed away. Now what am I going to do? Well, redirect me to perhaps donate to a Vision for You, the money that I stole, that I thought I was entitled to. And, you know, there's always an action to be able to do it. There's none that I know of that it can't be done because the many sponsors and the many recovered compulsive overeaters in this program will give us that suggestion. And courage, pray, rely on a higher power, which I call God. And we just get through it. It's amazing. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janice PM. Prayer H, please share with us. Press star 1 to unmute. Maybe I don't have your name correctly. I have it as Prayer H.
Okay, I think I got it now. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Freya H., compulsive eater bulimic, recovered in Colorado. Really appreciating this this paragraph and all the great shares on it. And I have so many things jumping out at me. I actually just had to take some notes. Let's see what comes out here. I didn't have a lot of, strictly financial. That wasn't like a big issue for me was the finances piece of it. And when I, in the fourth step, when it has all the, the instincts, it lists pocketbook. And I was offered the opportunity to look at pocketbook as rather than money, it's my time and energy. And that fits really well. Like, how does this affect my time and energy? Because money is just symbolic of, my time and energy and the effort I put. So that's really what I hear when I think about, the financial stuff is the instinct being triggered is really about, my time and energy, which is my most precious resource. And so applying that here, the word creditors jumps out at me because elsewhere in this book, it talks about, alcohol or alcoholism, the rapacious creditor, something like that. And I think that that's a reminder that if I am afraid of, of the people around me who, who I think I owe things to, and I'm going to dodge that, then guess what creditor is waiting for me? My disease, I can't dodge that one. So it's better to face these creditors that can actually be appeased than this rapacious creditor, which is my disease, which I, am no match for. Another thing that is important to me is I was taught that, the amends, yes, they're for other people, but they're also for me, that it's about me being able to, sweep off my side of the street. And then I have to be careful not to inflict amends on others. And so I've been in this situation where I wanted to pay the money back and either the organization or the individual that I was dealing with wasn't in a place to be able to do that in the way that I was expecting. And so I needed to basically let them, I need to find another way to do it. So rather than insisting to an organization like, no, I have to pay you this money, I had to find another way, such as, devoting money, time, and energy to another cause in you know, as part of my amends. So that's been really helpful for me. But the biggest thing that's jumping out here, it says we must lose our fear no matter how far we have to go, for we're liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. What really jumps out is that the fear, if I'm living in fear and I am driven by fear, I am disconnected. I'm still in self-reliance and I am disconnected from my higher power. And that is what is going to eventually lead me back to my disease. It's not, you know, the details, but it's just the fact that if I'm letting my fear keep me from making these amends, then yes, that means that I am blocked from the sunlight of the spirit. And I also love that it says, you know, it doesn't say, you know, our creditor will sometimes surprise us and say, don't worry about it. It says, no, we arrange a deal and we still, you know, we still pay. It's not like, oh, I just get my, you know, my debts erased, but that I'm going to be offered a way that I'm able to do it rather than just assuming, well, there's no way I can pay this, so I should just probably not bother. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Priya. Kathleen, oh, please share with us. Kathleen, press star 1.
Okay, sorry. Thank you, Kathy. I pressed it, but I guess it didn't unmute me. So Kathleen Over, recovered in Northern California. We do not dodge our creditors. So this step is about taking responsibility. And, you know, in trudging this road to happy destiny, we must repair any damage we've done, and that includes any lying, cheating, stealing, and making amends for any money we may owe. And it's, you know, step 9 is about making things right. And that's really what removes the weight of shame and guilt that we carry on our shoulders and in our head. And I know I carried plenty of it. You know, cleaning up my side of the street, that's what's going to relieve me of shame and guilt. So, you know, it's not in my control how the person's going to react. But this paragraph states that when we approach honestly, the most ruthless creditors will sometimes surprise us. And one of the amends that I had to make where I needed to make restitution was the high school that I went to, because I had the perfect job, little part-time job as a compulsive overeater. And that was working in this little student store that had Hostess everything and candy bars galore. And I stole plenty of it. My friend and I both worked in there. We were both compulsive overeaters. And we would load up our purses at the end of the day before we closed the little shop up and, you know, binge our brains out on this stuff. So, you know, some planning and thought had to go into this amends, because when we make these kind of amends, it really shouldn't be rushed. You know, it's worse to make amends for poor amends by rushing without some thoughts. I mean, I don't want to do it incorrectly and I have to go make another amends. So, you know, if I didn't make right these wrongdoings, I was at risk for throwing in the towel and living a miserable life in the food and being filled with this shame and guilt and remorse. And there's freedom when we clean up the past, you know, where we can live peacefully in the present. I ended up with this particular amend I had to make, contacting the school and asking if there was a counselor there that was familiar with 12-step programs, and there was. And so I made an appointment with her, and, you know, she wasn't even born when I was going to that high school, so she didn't even know what I was talking about, because that little thing, that little student store I worked in didn't exist anymore. But anyway, I gave a check for, you know, to the school, and she was very grateful, and It felt great. I mean, making these amends are great. You know, we take a big dose of humility in the 9th step, because that leads to strength and freedom from pride and arrogance. And, you know, I just don't want to go there anymore. And when I can be forgiven by others, it allows me to let go of resentments and practice forgiveness myself. And I pass. Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Okay, just a reminder, we're on page 78, sharing about the second full paragraph, and I'm ready to take some more names of people who would like to share.
Noel E.
Noel E.
Dylan M.
What was that name, please?
Dawn M.
Dawn M.
Lauren H.
Lauren H.
Sylvia F.
Sylvia F.
Christina J.
Christina J.
Libby E.
Nancy C.
Okay, Libby E. and Nancy C. Okay, we'll stop there. I'm not sure we'll have time for everyone, but let's see how it goes. Noel E., please go ahead.
Penny L. C.
Okay, Penny, I'll add your name. I'm not sure we'll have time, but I have you.
Okay. Hi, this is Noel E., compulsive overeater, recovering by God's grace. I'm in Louisiana also. Thank you to everyone for their service on this line. It is miraculous. I want to share that when I heard this paragraph read, before anybody shared, I was like, oh, I need to share today. I've got something to add here about making an amends, financial amends. And I made it to my company after 12 years of padding my expense account, just like Bill W. I made it, and it was, like, so freeing. And so I was like, okay, I'll talk about this so I can tell people if they've got, you know, if people are listening to this and just thinking it's the most, you know, hardest thing they're ever going to have to do. The freedom on the other side is hard to describe. I mean, it's so hard to describe how it feels to go to work every day and not just have that gnawing at you. But then as everybody started to share, I just was like, oh, you know, my disease is at work right now in this moment, because I made a ninth step amends, you know, during relapse, and I'm fighting moment to moment for my marriage. Right now, the last 3 months have been like, I have no idea what it's going to be like. You know, this book gives us an outline and a program for a reason. I'm paying the price for thinking that I knew better than God. But then also, right now, there is a lost and found at our neighborhood pool, and there was a little kickboard in the lost and found that we were using one day at the pool, because I have 3 kids under 6, and it was so good with my kids that at the end of the pool day, I just stuck it in our pool bag and brought it home. And so we've had it at our house for about a week, and every day when my 3-year-old passes it in the garage, he's like, Mom, this isn't ours. We need to bring this back. And it was just me being like, oh, this is good. It's in the lost and found. You know, it's mine. I just assuming I can do that kind of shit. It just is amazing how even in the what seems like the most subtle, innocent way, it's an indication of a deeper problem. So if I share next week, I'll let you guys know how returning the kickboard went this weekend at the pool. All right. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you, Noel E. Dawn M., please share with us.
Hi, this is Dawn M. This is really up for me right now. Since the pandemic started, I've been out of work. I've worked as a freelance tour guide over the last 25 years, and of course, that isn't something that's happening right now. And my husband, who has COPD, chose to stay home, you know, until the vaccinations came out. So I made the decision to use the money that I had in savings, and then eventually some unemployment kicked in, to pay the necessities. you know, to make sure that there was enough money for groceries to pay, you know, the house and the car payment. And I have a dog with ongoing health needs, and I chose not to pay on my unsecured debt, which was credit cards and one unsecured loan. So now I'm looking at, you know, what am I going to do about this? I'm still not working. My unemployment is running out in September. Tours still are not going. I have talked to an attorney about it. And I don't have enough money to go around to pay everybody. And it does eat at me because I haven't come up with a solution. And I had excellent credit before this. And not that I didn't have money issues in the past, you know, years ago, because I did. But I had worked really hard to clean it up. And and my biggest fear is financial insecurity. So that plays into it as well. So I don't have an answer. I just feel like I needed to share it. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Dawn M. Laura H., please share with us. Lauren H., I'm sorry.
Hi, this is Lauren H. from California, recovered compulsive overeater. Grateful to hear this meeting this morning, and thanks for everyone that does service. I was thinking, gosh, you know, I was willing to go to any length to get my food. You know, in my disease, my whole life, I stole money from my mom's purse. I would take 20s. And when I went through my amend process, you know, I was like, I don't know how many times, probably 20, $400. But to get to God, to get unblocked from God, yeah, this tells me I'm willing to go to any length. And it's being honest. And for me, I'm incredibly dishonest. I people please and cover it all up and tell you what you want to hear and, oh, do you love me? But telling my mom, you know, I probably stole $400 or more dollars and here it is. And I'm not going to do that again. That's my amend. And, and other ways I stole money was, I'm a nurse. I worked in the hospital for like 12-hour shifts in the ICU, and they have patient crackers, saltines and graham crackers, and I would just stuff my pockets like all day. And, you know, and I'm sure nurses can have them. It's okay. But I had way more than my share. I mean, and for years, day after day, you know, all 12 out, as much as I could, because I just had to fill that empty hole, that God hole with something. And so I kind of did a gross calculation of how much does a cracker packet cost, how many did I eat a shift, how many years, and told each manager at the hospitals I worked at that I did this, and how can I pay money back, and I won't be doing that again. And yeah, just honesty and humility. Another way I stole money, I was bulimic for 20 years, and I would order groceries, like, from Instacart, super easy to order groceries. I would eat and I would throw them up. And it was a lot of money that I wasted. And my husband would be like, gosh, we're spending a lot of money on groceries this month. And yeah, so being honest with him about that, and you know, lowering my pride and saying, I have this disease and I'm you know, working this program that is going to connect me to God and help. And I'll work this program so I don't do this again. And today, I'm connected to God. I'm on vacation, and it's freedom. It's freedom to go to any length, to be honest, and just be a human, just a human. I'm just a person with fatal illness. And so with that, I'll pass. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Lauren H. Okay, we're only going to have time for Sylvia F. and Christina J. today. And I'm going to ask each of you to take a minute and a half so we can hear from both of you. Sylvia, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Sylvia F., and I'm listed under California, but we have just moved to Oregon. I'm very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater, to still be here. The thing I wanted to share is when I was early in program and I had worked and was working the steps, I remember one time I was driving somewhere and I had this incredible urge to stop at a mini mart and do a binge, even though I had been abstinent. All of a sudden, it's just so strong. I think probably most of you know what that feels like. And by the grace of God, I actually stopped and I took out the back of an envelope and I started to write to do a little inventory about what the heck was happening. Why all of a sudden did I have this compulsion to eat? And what was revealed to me through the writing, because I could never have thought it through myself, was I had bought something. It wasn't expensive, but I had bought something. And my husband and I had made a decision, an agreement, that we weren't going to buy things right now. So it wasn't about the money, but I had been dishonest. And that dishonesty about money was pushing me right back into the food. And I was so grateful to be able to see that connection that it's like, oh, that I felt shame. I felt remorse. And so I was able to make an amends to my husband
okay.
about this dishonesty. I will finish up, Kathy,
yeah, okay.
about this dishonesty, about this money and what it had to do with this disease that I have. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Sylvia, for shortening it up. Christina J., you'll be our last share.
Good morning. Thank you for letting me share. I want to piggyback on Sylvia. That's exactly what I was going to point out, is that if we don't clear this up, we're going to eat again. And build up of human emotions, the worst part of the disease. We think the food's the worst part when we first come in? No. What's driving me to that food is that buildup of human emotions. We find out a lot of that in the fourth step, and then we look at all this stuff, and then we got to clean it up. Otherwise, we're going to be back on the food. How can we carry that around? Because, you know, at one point in our existence, in our life, our moral character is pounding and pounding and pounding on our heart. Please let me out. Please let me out. I want to be a good person. I want to be honest. I want to be truthful. What holds us back? Our pride, our insecurities, our wounds as children. We're afraid to tell the truth. We're afraid to be honest because we'll get spanked or we'll be embarrassed or whatever. I've done so many things that I've hidden and said I was going to take them to my grave. No. This program allows me to be honest, vulnerable, real, raw, and I can share anything with most people on this line, and I can free my soul day by day. And that's what this program is about, freeing our souls. We want to go to our deathbeds clean, don't we? I don't want to face my maker or whatever it's going to be out there with all this crap, even the smallest amount. I don't want to build up any more karma. So this is what this is about, people, for the newcomers out there. Don't be scared. Sure, we're going to be scared. Shit, what am I saying? Don't be scared. I was scared to death, but I did it, and I'm finding freedom day by day, moment by moment. I love you all, and have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, Christina J. Thank you to everyone who has shared and listened today. What a wonderful meeting, and I'm sorry to those who did not get to share. Please pick up the phone and share with another fellow. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164 and follow that with the Serenity Prayer. Julie E.B., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. A God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then,